The chant is up.
Two of the biggest clubs in the country go head to head.
The MCG erupts.
Two clubs packed with the big names.
Revolt!
Pinnabed half four takes the mark.
Hodgson snap towards goal.
Forced it to go.
Was that Prestia that unloaded from 52?
Side got him, so is it through.
Two clubs with a volatile past.
Look at the Tigers, boys!
The King!
They're in
the them! Trying all of them!
Everyone on the ground's in the fight here.
Last time these two teams battled, the Pies ended the Tigers' premiership dreams.
The Magpies in one of the great prelim final upsets.
Will history be repeated?
Mason Cox coming out, and he's plugged it.
Comes out. This time he's taken a hanger, Mason Cox.
Or will the loss be avenged?
Tigers fans erupt.
Tonight, from the Triple MCG, it's Richmond and Collingwood. As Triple M rocks footy.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
It's never been bigger.
Oh, big atmosphere!
More massive moments.
What about that?
Every massive match.
The energy, the electricity is building.
Massive!
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Round two gets off with a belter. Triple MCG Thursday night. Conditions couldn't be any better. Melbourne at its very finest. And we've got the Pies and the Tigers. A big game of footy to get the second round of the home and away season in 2019. Off to a great start. To come up in the preview, Taylor Adams, the injured Pie, will come up and have a chat. We'll also talk to Sean Grigg a little bit later on about the Alex Rance omission and a few other things to do with the Tigers. When I look around this box, there are great footballers in there, right? Some past, one present. There are awards everywhere. MVPs perhaps got ripped off a couple, according to the man that's won them. We've got Brownlows, we've got All Australians, we've got Best and Fairest, and we've got Premiership players and captains. And we've got Nathan Brown. So welcome, Brownie.
Oh, what a great intro. Very good to be here, Schwatter. And we do have some very glorious footballers in the back row. Can't wait to see what they've got to say tonight.
All right. Look over here. Current player, the Hawks, doing it nicely. Sean Silk Burgoyne. Welcome, Silk.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
And a man that got shafted with a couple of MVPs before we went to air. Juddy, got everything in the cabinet bar a couple more?
That's right, Schwatter, but it's not about me tonight. It's going to be an absolutely massive game and really looking forward to seeing how the Pies bounce back from a pretty unlucky loss last week, I thought.
All right, and there may be some late-breaking news in regards to a possible injured Pie on the way back. We'll get more about that a little bit later on as we welcome our main man. He is the journalist of all journalists, and that is Jay-Z Clark. Welcome, Jay-Z.
One thing I'm not in this box, Schwatter, that is the main man. I'm the littlest, smallest goldfish you could possibly find in this cookery,
fair to say. Describe your career.
My footy career. Mm. Well, I remember my under-14 coach once saying, Clarkie, you find so much of the ball, mate. You've always got your hands on it, but when are you going to learn to kick, he would say. So I very quickly became a tagger and not a very good one at that, Schwatter.
One of the great memories I had as a player playing against Sean Burgoyne was unfortunately one of Robert Murphy's darkest days. And we had this day where everything was about war and we're going to war against Port Adelaide. It was a game we had to win. And unfortunately, Murph had to play on Sean this day, and obviously the Silk lit it up. I think he told me before it was just a lazy six he kicked. And so we've come in after the game and everybody's names are all up the wall, and there was only four players on one side. The rest of them were the conscripts who obviously you want to be a volunteer when you are going to war.
Where was your name?
I was in the good day that day. So I was pretty happy. I was up the front going, here we go. And he came to Robert Murphy and he goes, I tell you what, Murph, he goes, I don't know where your footy's headed, because if there was a knife sitting between you and Sean Burgoyne today, he would have picked it up and stabbed you dead. With a fair amount of expletives in between all that, so well, I can't say on radio, but certainly gets brought up more often than not.
Remember that day?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. It was a good day for myself.
Yeah, boys, a big game of footy. Tigers minus Alex Rance, Basha Hawley, and their record in recent times, Jay-Z, is not particularly good when the All-Australian Premiership defender is not there.
Yeah, it was the Tigers' worst nightmare, let's face it, in round one. Although they beat the Blues, they lost the defender of a generation in Alex Rance. I think he averages something like 200 intercept possessions a season. He has been an outstanding fixture of that Richmond backline, and they're going to miss him for the season. And Chris Judd, Nathan Brown, how big is an impact will this have? Can you, in their system, can you just replace him, or is this a decimated backline now?
Oh, look, they're still going to be a wonderful team this year, and I think they'll be a top four team, but just something about it, it just feels like he's probably the one player they couldn't afford to lose. And I think Bolter against teams with taller forward lines will come in and fill a role. Obviously, Vlosten's trying to fill that role tonight. But for me, he's irreplaceable in that lineup, and I don't think they can win the premiership without him.
You can't replace Alex Rance, but what you can do is set up your back six as a team defence. I think they could have covered him this week, but then the added loss of Hawley puts enormous pressure on their run and carry. I mean, Basher Hawley is one of those players that links up. He's a 70 to 80 metre player when he does get the football. He uses it really well, quite often having shots at goal from outside 50. So I think standalone Rance, I think they could have covered him, but when you throw Hawley out of the team as well, it's going to be hard for Richmond tonight.
How big a challenge, Sean Burgoyne, is it for someone like maybe Nick Vlosten? So he now possibly becomes the third banana in that back line and takes the role that Grimes had. So there's a clear reshuffle. Can you tell us about what they would have done during the week to really school up on the changing of roles?
Yeah, I do agree. Guys like Rance is probably impossible to replace because, you know, not only does he intercept the ball, but his positioning, when he positions himself, you look around as a defender and you see where he is, and then you manipulate your position and you feed off each other, and then as a back six, you change. So they would have talked about their starting positions, what they're going to do. He's no longer going to be that safety blanket. How you can come off and help your teammate, lock your guy away first, and whoever takes that number one role, and then it just filters down who's going to take the number two, number three. But it's more the things you don't see. Well, you see Alex Rance coming through marking the ball or the spoils. You don't see the actual position you start with, and then everyone else just feeds off that.
And you talk about those intercept possessions. There's also so many times opposition players look up, see Rance long down the line and say, I'm not going to kick it there, because he will intercept it. So there's all those other turnovers he effectively creates just by his presence out there on the field.
Jody, you just said off the top, and I think Richmond fans would have choked on their chips sitting at the MCG at the moment. The Tigers cannot win the flag now that he's out. You put a line through him.
Well, look, it's a big call, and I don't like to, you know, knee-jerk reactions after one round or one injury. And the precedent's been set with West Coast with Nick Natanui and Gaff last year. So teams can win it with their great players out, but I just think out of all their big four, Martin, Cochin, Revolt and Rance, he's the one I wouldn't want to lose because of his role in the structure. We know they're really good at pressuring around the ball. What that does is forces teams to kick long. They also go early because he intercepts the ball so often. So I think it really disrupts their whole structure. And just, yeah, it's a big call, but I can't see them winning it without him.
Handy to bring in Tom Lynch, though, and he's an offensive weapon along with Jack Riewoldt. So they might look to score a little bit more. So much pressure now comes on their midfield. If their midfield gets routed like they did in the prelim last year, they're going to struggle. But if their midfield, they didn't get beaten often last year, the Richmond midfield. If they can match it with most of them, I think they're going to kick bigger scores than what their opposition are.
Have you used the word routed before?
It's a good word, isn't it? Routed.
I haven't heard that out of your mouth before. No. You got that off JB, did you?
Well, I've been just looking through the thesaurus. I like the little connotations you come up with. So I've got some new material to work out tonight.
Swatter, interesting night for the Pies. They were disappointing, weren't they, in round one against Geelong? Nathan Buckley says they were beaten in the midfield. But for me, boys, it was the ball use in the back half. And you did it better than anyone, Sean. Jeremy Howe, 4 turnovers. Jack Crisp, also 4 turnovers. They weren't great at that. They were quite scratchy in the preseason as well. In this modern game style, how important is it that you hit the targets out of the back line? Because it is something, surprisingly, the Pies have struggled with in this nearly part of the year.
Yeah. Well, most players have their half forwards come up and they're the outlet kick for the defenders. They come out and it depends how hard they work for an easy kick, or are they going to be attacking and try to come back through the middle? And if you come back through the middle and turn that over, and especially under the pressure that Richmond or, you know, last week, Geelong do, you're going to turn it over. So it's about knowing your capabilities as a kicker as well. Are you a good short kick? Are you a good long kick? And playing to your own abilities, not necessarily doing what you think's best for you or for the team. So it's a bit of both. If your half forwards aren't working out, you know, to give you, there's different words, outlets or exits. If they're not working hard enough, the kick becomes a lot harder.
It's easy to look at round one and go, oh, gee, Collingwood struggled a little bit. But listen, they should have been 6 goals up in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. They kicked themselves out of it. Their poor foot skills, as you said. And I think Dane Beams was pretty quiet. Steel Sidebottom was pretty ordinary in the first half. I think Adam Treloar was the only probably winner they had through the midfield all night. Jordan DeGoey had his worst game in a long, long time. So I think all their major key players were down, but they were still good enough to be nearly 6 goals up if they had a kick straight. So I don't think I'd be worried about the Pies.
What is it with round one, fellas? I mean, all the coaches say that we in the media overplay the results in round one. We get our knickers in a twist, etc. Why the bloody hell do they play players with a question mark over them? Max Gawn was in hospital throughout the week. I think he may have had some surgery to remove a boil and combat a skin infection.
A what?
I think there might have been a boil on his leg.
Don't you just pop that?
It might have been a large pimple. Real big.
Must have been a big boil.
Under general anaesthetic?
General anaesthetic.
I think he needed some serious work
sort
on
of
his...
What sort of dirty... How can you be that dirty under your skin that you get a boil that big?
It doesn't sound good, does it?
He's a big man.
Admitted to hospital. And then we learned that Zach Merritt, the Essendon midfielder, had a really poor game on Sunday against GWS, just the 16 positions. Did get a hard tag, but he had a flu during the week. Why don't you just put up your hand, Juddy, and say, "Coach, I'm not feeling well. I'll sit out the first." Is it that important that you have to play round one?
Realistically, I think there's players playing with those sorts of ailments week in and week out. Perhaps there's more of a focus on it after round one. But, I mean, you would know firsthand, Sean, just how many players are going into games underdone, and probably the more so that the season goes on. Perhaps it stands out more in round one because it is such a high-speed game the first month of footy, and sides are so physically raring to go. But if you are a smidgen off, perhaps it stands out even more than it does later on in the year.
Just the build-up. The build-up for round one is enormous. And, you know, you can lose the first game and still play finals. It's only one game, but the build-up's there. You want to get through the JLT series. The fans do as well. And then for some teams, you have a letdown, and then they're looking for reasons why.
Three of the four teams last year that lost in round one played in the preliminary finals. And I've never heard you use the word smidgen before either.
Hey, Jay-Z, just quickly, we're getting reports that there may be an injury to a pie on his way back, unconfirmed, but it's not good news.
We got our fingers and toes, everything crossed for Lyndon Dunn at the moment, Schwatto, because in his comeback game in the VFL tonight at Punt Road, the very popular veteran defender has hobbled off with a suspected knee injury. Now, we've touched base with... his people, and they are unsure what the injury with his knee is, other than to say that there is some serious concern around its stability at the moment. So he is such a popular figure at the Collingwood Football Club. I believe he is in their leadership group. He's worked his absolute backside off to get back into the VFL team and hopefully play some senior footy. And he's, I believe it was the second quarter when the incident happened. So he's hobbled off. He's with the Collingwood Medicos now. And you just pray that it's not another ACL.
Yeah, our thoughts are with Lyndon Dunn as we speak. Boys, can you remember a start to a season where we've had so many knees?
No.
No, we were talking about that pre-show, weren't we? They've just exploded this year.
What do you reckon? I don't know if you know the answer, but why do you reckon that is?
I don't know. Maybe it's the start of the year. The ground's maybe a bit harder. Everyone's trying a little bit harder to impress. But it seems like there's been a heap more. And in the women's comp as well, there's a lot of injuries there as well with the knees.
Terrible news for Lyndon Dunn, so let's hope that that's okay. Importantly, for some selection news, Tom Scully.
Yeah, news should drop any minute at the moment, Schwatter, whether Tom Scully will complete his miraculous comeback. They've got special powers down there at Waverley, Sean. I don't know how yourself, Lakey, they can just turn them around and help recover these star players from injuries. But Tom Scully was a guy who at GWS last year, there was serious belief that he may not only play his best footy again, but whether he would play at all. Like, there were serious doubts over his ankle injury, but over an outstanding summer, he is right in the frame to play this weekend. Sean, I believe if he doesn't play AFL, he will play in the VFL team. It's one or the other. How impressed have you been by the wingman?
Yeah, from what I'm told, he'll definitely play this week. So whether it is, I don't know just yet. But yeah, his professionalism is first class. When he rocked up to the club, the club told him, you know, it doesn't matter how long it takes to get you back, we'll get you back. That could be in the second half of the year, but his professionalism is first class. And, you know, he does everything right. His diet, the way he goes into the gym, his recovery, everything. And yeah, he'll play this week. So we don't know what all the fuss is about, to be honest.
Juddy, a future fourth round draft pick, Brownie. That Kenwood should be having an investigate. Like, that could be the best bargain trade pick of all time. He was a guy who in 2016 was in All-Australian calculations. Yeah. Without Tom Mitchell, how big a boost can he be to that Hawthorn side?
It'd be massive. He's when he's up and running, he's the hardest runner, I think, from end to end. He's a gut runner. And speaking to Wayne Campbell, who was part of having to move him on, and it was just they had to do it. They had no other choice.
They had to get the money out of the cap.
They had so much over the salary cap, and he's the one that he thought might come back to hurt them. He said, look, he's banged up a bit, but he's the one I wanted to keep because I believe his running capacity is too good to give up, and Hawthorn's got a steal.
It looks like such a bargain pick, Schwatter. Future fourth-round pick. I mean, he was, considering that Essendon paid two first-round picks for Dylan Scheel, Judd, is there much difference between Tom Scully at full flight and Dylan Sheil as a footballer?
Oh, well, Tom Scully at full flight is comparable. I think Dylan Sheil's a better player because he's got a bit more variety. He goes inside and outside a bit more than Scully, but no doubt about it, Scully fully fit is an elite AFL player, yeah, whichever way you slice and dice it. So I guess the important thing is...
So fully fit, you would take Sheil over Scully?
Fully fit, I would. Yeah, but I mean...
I'd go the other way. I just think Scully kicks goals and his foot skills, like, great choice to have because they're both great players, but I just think the foot skills on Scully's side are outstanding.
And he's been named as part of a extended squatter for the Sunday game against the Bulldogs, so he's in the frame to make his comeback.
Where's that game? Marvel Stadium?
Yes, it is. No, it's at the MCG, 3:20. It's our game squatter on
What's
Sunday.
What's happening with the surface there?
At Marvel, it was they had a 30-metre by 20-metre chunk replaced yesterday. I understand the AFLPA and AFL representatives inspected it today. Of course, they're going to give it the tick. They'll be playing footy there this weekend. But it was a shocking look, fellas, wasn't it? Sure, what do you expect more from an AFL surface, Sean, than what you've seen at Etihad Stadium or Marvel Stadium over the weekend?
Well, for round one, yes. We've had the whole summer to get it right. And, yeah, you want it to be perfect, you know, round one and... I don't know what the rules are, but what if the PA did say it's unsafe? What happens then?
I'd like to see them get creative with it. I'd like a couple of Rastafarians in there, taking matters in their own hands. Don't worry about the roof. Just get the biggest hydros you can wrap your life and gear around. Get them growing it and sort it out. How hard is it? Sun and water.
Not hard.
Two things, Jay-Z.
Yep.
Anyway. Just my professional opinion. That's
jumper punches have been put back on the agenda in the last 24 to 48 hours?
Yeah, certainly been one of the biggest issues of the week because the AFL hinted, suggested, said that there would be a crackdown on these off-the-ball punches with free kicks paid, with fines and suspensions. But we see at the weekend that Ben Cunnington only got a fine for his whack to the gut of Nathan Wilson. Liam Ryan, likewise, got away with a fine. Juddy, what do you think for the look of the game? Is the AFL being hard enough on this? Do they have to ratchet up the force grading?
No, because, I mean, you report someone like a Ryan. I didn't think there was that much contact in that blow. You set the scene once, you've got to do it all year. And before you know it, someone's missing a final or a grand final for, a nothing incident because of precedent. I think we're so obsessed with the look of the game. The look of the game's so much better than it ever has been for generations gone by. I think they're managing it fine at this stage.
What were you expecting, Sean? What was the information from the AFL to the players?
Yeah, we were told if you punch, we're going to crack down on it, potentially suspended. Well, suspended. But now that this has happened, all I want as a player now is just consistency. If those same things are happening in round two, they've treated the same in round three. I don't all of a sudden get to round 15 or 16 and there's a crackdown on it and then we start getting suspensions. Now it has to be consistent across the board.
We can guarantee you, though, at some point in round six or seven, someone's going to get put out for it.
Yep. And then there'll be uproar. North Melbourne coach Brad Scott had a slightly different take on the issue today.
You know, I thought across round one, a number of players went down like they'd been hit like a Mack truck when there was very minimal contact. So puts the umpires in a really difficult position where they've been told to pay free kicks for any strikes off the ball, but there are a number of players who go down like fallen leaves.
It's a good clip, isn't it?
Not pulling any punches, just saying that the AFL are players and maybe...
Well, it's a fine for staging then, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's right. Hey? Yeah, they're taking
it's a one bite. Or the other, isn't it?
Brownie, ever the knees ever sort of buckled underneath you, mate? Did you ever sort of just...
No, never. No, never, Jay-Z.
The Tigers are minus Alex Rance and Bashir Hawley. The Magpies, we've heard news about Lyndon Dunn. We hope that that's not the news that we think it might be. One other player, boys, that plays the game with the right spirit and a nice little hard edge is not playing tonight, and he sits himself in the back row, and that is Taylor Adams. Welcome, Taylor.
Thanks, Wada. Thanks for having me, guys.
How's it all coming, mate? How far away, and are you a good watcher of the game?
I'm a shocking watcher. I'm actually sitting in the box tonight, so... I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, last week was a little bit disappointing and probably out of character for our mob from last year. So, looking for a bounce back. It's obviously going to be a huge crowd in here. Everyone's going to ask about the prelim. But, new year for us. We're really excited to show you guys what we can do.
A lot of people thought it was disappointing that Collingwood lost last week. But I took out of the game. I thought Jamie Elliott's form was outstanding. I thought Darcy Moore down back too with his contested marking was just what you guys needed after last year. How did you see those two guys' games last week?
Yeah, it's probably a quick reminder that, you know, we played without two really quality players for most of last year. Obviously, Darcy played a handful of games, but we haven't seen Billy out there for, you know, 18 months. So awesome for them two guys to get through. They've put in a power of work, you know, through their rehab programs. And, yeah, it's nice seeing, you know, two quality players put the stripes back on.
Tay, we've been talking about the Collingwood midfield all summer, banging on about how good you guys will be with Dane Beams coming into that mix. What was the mood and the feel this week? Because Geelong, as Nathan Buckley said, probably got you in the guts last week.
Yeah, there was a few things that we spoke about internally. Obviously, reviewed the game. One of the things was our midfield and the way we worked. Probably didn't click together as well as we would have liked to. But the best thing about footy, Jay-Z, is you get to, you know, rock up 6 days later and pull the boots on again and have another crack. So, you know, we expect a huge spike from our midfield this week, starting with Brody.
Wasn't a lot of expectation on the Pies going into last year. You lost your first two games, obviously played in the grand final, but the expectation's pretty big. I mean, you're putting together maybe one of the best midfields of all time. How are you dealing with that expectation?
Yeah, it's a funny one. I think last year what we did really well was we sort of just focused on ourselves internally. You know, the noise is always around what Collingwood's doing, and it's good and it's bad, but I think guys are starting to get used to it. The media's going nowhere, so... Yeah, we're not too concerned about those comparisons that people are making. We yet to do much, our midfield. We haven't won a premiership together, and you know, some of the midfields we're getting compared to are pretty quality. So for us, it's about making sure that we go out there every week and put in a good performance, and yeah, hopefully earn the respect of not only ourselves and our peers, but you know, the guys, the people outside of the four walls of our footy club.
Taylor, everyone's talking about Mason Cox. Can he repeat last year's performance? Obviously, it's going to be extremely hard. How you guys have got around him this week and just put an end to the hype? And what has he been like this week? Because that's a pretty big game to live up to last year, but it's on everyone's lips at the moment.
Yeah, certainly was a pretty impressive performance. Mason's a funny one. He you don't really need to pump him up too much. The big fella's got a bit of a head wobble as it is. So it's more trying to bring him back down to earth at times, Sean. But no, he's obviously what he does for us. That's much more than kicks, marks and handballs. His ability to compete in the air when he probably shouldn't be able to and then pinch hit for Broads in the ruck, you know, super crucial to our free side.
Voice you're listening to is the injured Pie on his way back, Taylor Adams. Here's Nathan Brown.
There are a lot of beards going around in the AFL at the moment, Taylor. Yours looks like it's been groomed quite well. Do you spend a fair amount of time? You've got the big line down the side there. Do you spend a lot of time grooming that thing? Yeah, it looks very, very kept well.
Well, I sort of committed to it about 5 weeks ago when I had my surgery on my finger, and I thought, why not? Let's have a crack at it.
How's the feedback been?
Yeah, it's inconsistent. Yep. Some of the boys are really liking it, but my missus doesn't really like it too much. So I think I'm now trying to just grow it as much as I can just to piss her off.
Taylor, getting back to the football, as much as we could listen to Nathan's question all night about your beard and various other...
Greenwood playing it off.
You're only as good as your last question, Nathan, and that was a bit of a stinker. All AFL players get 3 weeks off over Christmas now, which for the teams that don't play finals is brilliant.
Yep.
For teams that go deep into September like you guys did last year, do you think that's a bit of a challenge and almost a disadvantage in this early part of the season?
It's definitely a challenge for footy clubs, especially with younger boys. I think most guys that have been in the system for 4, 5, 6 years get a grasp on how to come back and what sort of condition you need to be in. But now I think what the clubs are finding hard is the young guys doing all those little 1%ers like their prehab, recovery sessions, making sure they tip into their weights, all the running sessions. It is, for me, I love it. I love training by myself, and it's a nice way to refresh, but I can understand where clubs are coming from when they complain about the 3 weeks off being too long.
Tay, I don't know whether you know this or not, but Lyndon Dunn has just limped off in the VFL with a suspected knee injury. We don't know, but it's a possible reoccurrence of his ACL. We really hope it's not. What's your reaction to that news, and how popular figure is he at the club? Because that is potentially devastating for him.
Yeah, well, if that is the case, it obviously is devastating, but I'll obviously wait to hear from the man himself or someone who's actually at the ground. Obviously, it's been circulating around on Twitter, and that's how I found out about it about 25 minutes ago, so... Yeah, I'm not going to jump to conclusions just yet.
Have you got a knot in your stomach?
I still remember sitting next to him last year when he did it, and Shaz, and the room was full of tears. So it hits, you know, footy sides pretty hard. Obviously fingers are crossed that what you're saying isn't true. But yeah, it makes you feel a bit sick, to be honest. Put in a power of work, obviously, and hopefully it's not undone.
Hey, I can recall a game. I think it was round three. You were about to play Carlton. We were doing that game on a Sunday afternoon, Jay-Z, and there's this feel that Nathan Buckley, you've had the review. There are a lot of people within the industry that thought if you lost the game against Carlton in round three, then Nathan Buckley is gone. That didn't happen. You went on to play on in a grand final. The group's evolving and maturing all the time. But give us your personal view on the evolution of Nathan Buckley, the coach and the person. So I think and I suspect that he's grown enormously in the last 18 months.
Yeah, definitely. And I think he's what he's done really well is he's got good people around him to support him. And he's listening to them and acting on advice from people. And I think most of all, he's really enjoying being our footy coach. And there was a lot of publicity about our footy side last year, and I guess the emotional bond that we had with each other, and that was probably started by Bucks internally, and it's probably something that most people don't see of Nathan when he was playing his footy throughout his career. He probably wasn't seen as one of those guys who was a hugger or, you know, told someone that he loved them. But over the last 3 or 4 years, and it didn't just start last year, it started years ago. We've seen him evolve as that sort of person, showing care, love, speaking about empathy, and yeah, he's always been really good in the community. But the amount of people we had come through our doors to experience our footy club as close up as you possibly could be has been awesome. And we've taken motivation, inspiration from those people that have come through.
Shawnee, just on that, does Clarko tell you that he loves you as well? Does he hug you and a bit of man love? Or
he did sing me a song last year with the guitar in front
just
of
just you and him.
The team
bottle
was
of red.
I didn't tell me he loved me. He sang me a song in front of my wife, which was a little bit awkward.
Wow,
what was the song?
Hey,
what was the song?
I can't remember the lyrics.
Can't have been that good.
But it's David Brent from The Office there, isn't it?
Is this normal activity at all, Thorn Shawn?
He does it for guys who have tribute games. So he did it for my 350th. I think he did it for Cyril.
Plays your song.
Birch, a couple of other players. Hodgie. Mm.
An original or someone else's song?
No, he makes up the lyrics.
Wow.
He just gets a popular song.
That is incredible.
Song. He gets a popular song.
What happened to the old DVD with the ACDC?
And he expects everyone to sing in the chorus as well.
Really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Well, it's nice. Hey, Taylor, we appreciate you coming in. Good luck tonight. We hope to see you back doing what you do really well very shortly.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
There you go.
Thanks,
Taylor Adams. Great to have him in the Triple M commentary box. And, well, Brownie, it's a bit cheap that Juddy had a crack at you about your line of questioning to Tay about his beard. So for those people who may have just turned on the wireless and heard your reference back to Levi Greenwood, can you just sort of refresh what happened?
Well, Juddy came to us about the middle of last year and he said, I want to be taken more seriously in this role that I do. And I want to have my own segment where I go down and I interview the big names. I interview the really big players.
Fair, he's
so,
a star.
Yeah, two-time Brownlow medalist. Unbelievable.
Two-time MVP.
West Coast
captain.
Premiership.
Yep. Captain. Done it all, mate. Done it
has
all.
Has done it all. And so he went down last week. Matty Scarlett, who is just as well decorated as the man to our left. And he went down to interview Matty Scarlett. This is round one, mind you. This is everything
on the
line.
Of any week you're
going
to be researched this round
one,
right?
You would be researched up to your eyeballs. And this is what he rolled out with Matty Scarlett.
The pig Greenwood generally goes to Joel and tries to get under his skin. Would you expect him to go to him tonight?
I don't think he's playing.
Well, that'll make it. That'll make it tricky for that to happen then, Scarlett.
He runs onto the ground and goes after him. I think it might be hard for him to play on.
So let's not rule that one out just yet.
Well, I mean,
there's
no things. Personally, I would have played Greenwood last week. And I have seen he's made his way into the team tonight. Yes, so
you're claiming it?
That's obvious justification that the question was fair. And also,
you know what I love about Triple M? Other stations would have frowned upon that and thought, oh, you can't do that. You might be out next week. We embrace it and we love it and we want more of it.
Even with one of the game's greats. Yeah. We're going to throw him right under the bus. We love you, Juddy.
Right on.
We're going to go downstairs and welcome for the first time tonight Nerolee Meadows, who has a very special tiger with you, Nez.
Thank you very much. Absolutely beautiful evening in Melbourne, not a cloud in the sky, so perfect conditions for footy. I've got Richmond star Sean Grigg with me. Grigg, I want to ask about Alex Rance to start with, because the way that he has handled this setback has just earned him admirers around the country. How have you seen it from within?
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of no surprise to us because we see him every day, obviously. But, yeah, it's sad to see him go down. But, you know, it gives Oleg Markov the opportunity and some of our other back six to grow and take some of his the slack that he leaves.
What about you? When are you going to be back out there?
Yeah, hopefully a couple of weeks. Just had a bit of an interrupted pre-season, and so I don't want to come back underdone, get some good training in, and yeah, hopefully a couple of weeks be ready to go.
And Gregor, you're a married man now, obviously been married for quite some time now. How's that sort of mindset changed to when you're a young player to how you view football now?
Yeah, no, obviously great, Jody. You're running that same gag as the last time you interviewed me, so I thought it may be coming, but very, very happily married to the lovely Sarah, the beautiful mother of my two boys.
Nothing if not predictable.
Exactly, that. I love it.
Gregor, just trying to get things back on track up here. Tell us about the Rance injury. What does it mean for the rest of the back six now? Does David Asprey become the main banana? What does it mean for not Nick Vlosten? Tell us how things are going to change back there.
Yeah, it probably just gives those guys, you know, an extra bit of leadership to step up. Nick Vlosten's obviously a very talented player, but, you know, he's got great leadership quality, so hopefully we see that tonight. And Dave Asprey's the same. You know, he's in charge of that back line. And Dylan Grimes, we've got a lot of experienced heads down there.
You're playing the rack a fair bit, Gregor, when I guess you're second and third man up a fair bit when Nankervis rests. He's got a massive job against Grundy tonight. I've seen these guys go head-to-head on many occasions, and almost the winner of that ruck battle is the winner of the game.
Yeah, two great players. They both love the contest, hitting hard, so big Nank's fired up. Hopefully he can come out there and do the job on Grundy. He loves playing against the best, and you know there's not too many better than Grundy.
And we touched on Alex Rance at the start of the interview. Obviously, with him being out, will that change the way your midfield operate? Do you think they'll have to get back and help out the defenders even more, or will it be a new man in, same structure as always?
Yeah, it's probably a bit of both, Judd, man. The mids will get back and help, and obviously Oleg Markov comes in, and we've sort of the same system as we've seen. We've had a good sort of defensive structure the last couple of years, so we'll continue to see that.
Hey, mate, it's Shawnee Burgon here. I just want to talk about young Higgins. What has he been up to this week? What kind of gags? We played you guys in the JLT series, and a couple of our boys reckons that he was turning off their GPS signals in the back of their jumper. So has he been doing anything this week?
I saw he's got a haircut today. He came in and said that he needed to freshen up before the big Thursday night game in front of a massive crowd. So look out for that. And, yeah, see him buzzing around the Ford 50, and he loves to celebrate. So hopefully he kicks an early one and gives the crowd a bit.
Gregor, Camden McIntosh fascinates me. Rare-looking unit. Would I be right in saying that he rocked up to a game once and a training, and it was in an estate game, and his boots were too big for him. He'd taken the wrong boots, and you told him that there are special crystals you can put in the water and put your feet in the water, and they enlarge your feet, and he believed you and did it.
I actually called it foot fertiliser, Brownie. told him in our captain's run the day before that if he sticks his feet in there for about 20 minutes, they'll swell up and his boots will be right. And,
he did it.
He went and asked the doc and he did it, and the doc played along and he played in the boots. They were actually size 14. They were ridiculous. Big clown shoes.
Gregor, tell us about Tom Lynch. Obviously kicked three goals on debut. It was promising, but he was also probably a bit rusty as well. What did you make of his performance and the shape of the new look Richmond forward line? Because previously, where you may have relied on that ground level threat, the speed and pressure, now you've got some real aerial potency.
Yeah, he summed it up well. I mean, he came in and played, you know, really well, we thought. He brought the ball to ground, he kicked a few goals, and yeah, he dropped a few marks that he probably would usually take, but he'll be definitely better for the run. And you know, however that long that takes him to get his touch back, we'll be patient, and all we want him to do is bring the ball to ground and give those small guys a chance to either kick the goal or put elite pressure on the oppo.
Hey, Gregor, great opportunity for Brandon Ellis, who's found it hard to crack a go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you'll see him off the half back line tonight and the wing, which he's been accustomed to over the years. And yeah, obviously his work rate's massive, so watch him running down, up and down the ground all day, all night.
Gregor, obviously a shock result in the preliminary final last year where Mason Cox ran hot. Have you touched on that at all from an education perspective? Have you reviewed that game? Can you find any lessons in that for you ahead of the clash against Collingwood tonight?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We sort of touched on it early in the pre-season when we were first back. I'm not sure how much relevance it has for tonight's game, but, yeah, we've taken a few things out of it. And obviously, Coxie had a great game that night, and the Pies thoroughly deserved to win. They outplayed us pretty much in all areas of the ground, so yeah, the boys are pretty fired up and, you know, we just want to get the win.
Big game of footy tonight, Sean. We wish you well and good luck on your return and good luck tonight.
Thanks, guys. And actually, Levi Greenwood is playing this week, so he might be in there to tag someone, I'm guessing.
A week too late, Grigger.
Nicely done, Shawnee. Thanks, we wish Sean Grigg well. And just a little drive-by. I'm not sure if you boys caught the attention of what was happening in the front row. Brownie, this is not good for radio, but did you just take a photo on your iPhone?
No, I didn't.
Something caught his attention. He was pointing outside the window here, Silk and Juddy. I'm going, oh, it must be a dignitary. It must be Gil McLaughlin. Might be Matt Damon or Chris Hemsworth, whoever it is. Might be attractive-looking woman, whatever it might be. Brownie's seen a Richmond supporter with the number 7 jumper on there. So ensconced with what he's seen, he's taken a photo. And what are you going to do with that photo?
Now, I didn't actually take the photo. I had the binoculars out on it. And it's clearly my signature on the back. So she's obviously holding a flame for me for a decade. I have not played for a decade, so she's kept that in pristine condition. And I think that's wonderful.
Well, Brownie, you were the number one player in the game.
It was a good 10 rounds. Michelle Brown's down there. For 10 rounds, it was a good time.
How
it was a good time in my life.
Yeah, by that stage.
No, about 34.
Yep. On fire. Mm. What did you say to your teammates at that stage?
On
my shoulders?
No, just follow me, boys.
Yep. Take you to the Holy Grail. Yep.
And then the next week, the karma bus hit me. In the form of Matty Whelan.
Yep.
And that was it.
Ah, wouldn't he? A stocky player. Hey, selection news, Jay-Z. We've got to take a break shortly. Richmond taking on the Pies.
Yeah, big news. Tommy Scully named in Hawthorn's extended squad, along with Jesse Hogan. Wasn't considered for selection in round one. He is in a extended squad for Fremantle. And the axe has been wielded at Melbourne after their disappointing first round loss to Port Adelaide. Three changes there. Jay Lockhart only joined the club a month ago under the SPP rules. A tough nut from Tasmania, 23 years of age. He's playing. Stephen May comes in along with Cade Collajajni. Out is Corey Wagner, Charlie Spargo and Marty Hoare. And also at Essendon, Darcy Parrish comes in after kicking 5 snags. And the VFL Jordan Ridley makes way for him. And Toby Green's out with soreness, GWS.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.